So how can we live more sustainably?
And Jessica, I'm going to invite you to spend a little time tuning into that to start us off. How does that sound? Just take all the time you need to connect with whatever stream is coming through you for that.
Consider sustainable as an energy or your own life force, your own ka, your kundalini is essentially eternal. So we are all self-sustaining beings, and the global crisis is a crisis of soul, of not recognizing soul. And so we've created or externalized that lack of recognition. And when you realize that the light that you are made of, which includes the four elements here in this dimension, 5, earth, air, wind, earth, wind, ether, fire, water, all a part of that light nature. Your light is eternal, and so there is sustainability in your light and expanding it. So begin by reconciling the belief that things are not sustainable. What's not sustainable is the illusion of separation.
So playing with that, let's all just get a sense of our eternal, sustainable inner light bodies as perhaps a column of flame within us from root to crown, and feel it extending all the way into the center of Mother Earth and all the way up to what we'll call the Great Central Sun. And feel the light, the energies of light, especially golden light, connecting you with Source as though you are not an insignificant speck in the universe, but rather one of the alive filaments that is part of this great whole called the universe. And you can access all aspects of the universe through this inner core of light body. So just feel that brightening. And feel your own sustainability in that. And then as we move from there to feel the room around us, and those listening, whatever room you may be in, just feel the room around you. And then feel what's outside that, the outdoors, the mother, she who sustains all life in this domain. And if you can, begin to feel your love for her ground, for her sky, for her creatures, for her plants and trees, and for fellow and sister humanity. The feeling of this recognition, this honoring, this love, this connectivity, this connectivity, this co-nexus is the beginning of sustainable living. From this consciousness, this love, this connectedness, better decisions emerge about what you're going to do each day within your house and as soon as you step out the door regarding Mother Earth. This affects everything from how much water you put through your tap to what is just the right temperature of heating, to how much food do I really need, to what kinds of bags do I want to carry the food in, to do I want to create a garden in my yard or in a local communal garden, or do I want to move to a place that has one, to what kinds of things do I want to plant and how do I want to till the earth in that little plot. And for others of you, it might mean, how do I want to make my living? Do I feel that what I'm doing is in accord with the harmony of the cycles and the needs of Mother Earth? Or could I be in more alignment with that? And, or perhaps, do I feel a passion to become involved in conservation efforts or help raise awareness or help teach others how to create gardens? Or, you see, so it starts from within you and then it fans out in a net, in a network. And you can expand as far or as near to you as you wish in terms of your level of commitment to it. So why don't you just tune in now? What is presently your level of commitment to Mother Earth and what we might call sustainable living? And just feel, is there a way you can stretch that just a little bit? Knowing also that offering love to Mother Earth every time you walk out your door or every time you see your plant or your creature in your house also supports sustainability. Earlier we were looking at the marvel of the tree and the turkeys. That awe, that love, supports sustainability because it travels outward and it affects the entire net of the planet. So you need not even do anything that feels burdensome or onerous or expensive, or you need just admire that grandmother tree that's in the on the other block, or touch it and communicate with it. We just heard a woman speaking about how she received all sorts of messages about ascension by consulting a raspberry tree. And she said, why are not 100% of people wanting to do the ascension process right now? And the raspberry tree said, well, look, you see how some of our berries are ripe and some are white? There's your answer. It's about timing, readiness. It may be this lifetime, it may be another lifetime, even. So I'll just pause there. And Jessica, was there anything else you wanted to add to that question?
What came to me was just tuning into the joy of being in that self-sustaining frequency. It's almost like there's a barrier of unbelief, or that there's been a despair or loss of hope that's taken over a lot of humanity, or false illusions about it being too hard. And so that's a frequency that is heavy and dense. And there's not a lot of movement that happens there. So our movement can spring from our intentions. And we can tune into the frequency first and then flow with mindful, inspired action. So it's important to make a choice and to take inspired action. It's like walking in faith, that this is important, this is valuable to me. And then we share these values together, we share these frequencies together, which helps strengthen the net and the community of our good intentions to manifest that self-sustaining planet. And we do have many allies in that regard. We're not alone. In some ways, it's already been done. We just have to walk it out on Earth right now.
Yeah, so let's connect with who those allies may be in this question. It may be people you know in your life now, or it may be relatives who have crossed over to the other side, or ancestors, or people who had farming knowledge. It may be beings such as the fairies and the fae and the she, all of those beings on just on the other side of the veil, who also have a vested interest in the natural world being sustained, preserved, and cultivated, for they are part and parcel of it. So we can ask their help and their inspiration in making our own lives ones of harmony with the earth, and helping us to help others do the same. Mother Earth herself, her frequency and resonance, we can connect with her. Star ally beings. Mother Divine, Father Divine, we ask for assistance with this. And we consult the plants and the trees, the ground themselves. And ask them to speak to us and all who have this question to provide answers in the perfect way and in the perfect time. Let's have a next question. Something you're burning to know.
How do I best foster healing?
Jessica, did you want to begin that?
Yeah, what's coming through is begin by imagining what it would be like to be fully healed already, and start using your words of, I'm a sovereign being and I wish to experience perfect health. I wish to experience my wholeness. I wish to be whole in this lifetime. I can start using your co-creative imagination and your voice. Start tuning into those frequencies of, this is what I feel like when I'm whole. I wish to stay here.
Yes, and from there you can continue to ask the questions of the healed self. What would help me? What steps might I take to be in that frequency more of the time or all of the time? And listen for the answers. It might be to spend more time relaxing, looking up at the sky a bit more. Even if you are in a workplace, you can see out a window. Might be breathing more deeply when you're at your computer. It might be doing a little bit more walking to get your chi going, or some yoga for stretching to get it going and detoxing. Or it may be a dietary change. You will intuit what it is that you need. Having these conversations with your healed self and the great allies of healing, the beings that are healer beings. So if you have this question for yourself right now, we're just offering you a moment to connect with your healed self and or healing beings, and just ask, what one step could I take to be in this healed state more of the time? And for some of you it may be, well, I perhaps want to check out an Eastern practitioner of some kind of healing modality. For others, well, I know I should probably get that blood pressure checked by Western medicine. There are various steps that you can take, giving your body the signal, I love you, I'm caring for you. So that we may have an optimal experience in this lifetime. So that's for the personal healing. That's for the one who is healed, needing healing within you. Then there's you as healer. For yourself, yes, and for others beyond. And of course, we know that health encompasses many layers and levels: physical, emotional, mental, spiritual. So there are layers of that to which you can tune in, both for yourself and for others. If you wish to be a healing presence on the planet, again, beginning with your core light frequency and getting it as strong as possible and radiating that wherever you go, even Walmart. Giving a smile to somebody at a cash register could be helpful, or whatever device may be used now. Giving somebody the right of way on the street can be healing. Asking a question or starting a conversation of a person in line somewhere, just being friendly. Simple things, and to your family. And then it goes out from there. Am I feeling a calling to be a healer? What kind? How could I begin that today? Are there teachings and tools I want to acquire, and how? Go with your joy with this. If it's not your joy, then it's not your path. Jessica, would you like to offer more on this question?
Sure. Well, what's coming through is to cultivate mindfulness and observing your energy, and what situations are you in where your energy gets very low or it's taken from you? There's even a story in the Bible when Jesus often will say this, if someone touches him, he'll say, who touched me and pulled my energy out of me? He was so fine-tuned as a healer that he could sense that people were pulling his energy. So to start noticing, are there places that pull your energy? Are there people or situations that are pulling it? And then start to observe what's feeding it, what's nourishing, what's expanding it, and to give yourself permission to keep walking in that path of joy and making boundaries for yourself around those situations that your energy is being kind of pulled from you. So to really be honoring your energy so that you're cultivating all chakras on, pillar of light, consciousness.
And refreshing your memory and or rediscovering or discovering new things of what brings you joy. And doing that, even if it's doing nothing, and sitting with a cup of tea or cocoa and looking out the window, or just smelling a flower, noticing clouds, going dancing in some kind of environment that feels affirming and healthy. Singing, movement, a sport. Are there types of books or films you like to see that feed you? Audios you like to listen to? All of this contributes to your health. Food. What kind of food genuinely nourishes you?
Also, it's like sensing there's the shadow integration that happens in healing too, where oftentimes we're eating or staying busy to escape parts of ourselves that are uncomfortable, and that those parts too need healing. And so to notice the patterns around avoiding your feelings, staying distracted, not to be present with what's happening. So really allowing yourself permission to press into that which is uncomfortable, feelings coming up in you, so that you can digest the wisdom and honor your feelings and do that integration and change that those parts of you are asking for.
Yes, because so often health that's not optimal physically is a result of the emotional life of being repressed or turned away from. Sometimes these unexpressed, unacknowledged emotions bubble up as physical manifestations, and so being able to continue with looking into your emotional life, what do you need to do to heal your emotions, express them? There's much in the way of trauma in our lives. Virtually perhaps most people have had trauma of one kind or another, events that were deeply upsetting, starting before the womb, while you're in the womb, when you're coming out of the womb, in infancy, in childhood, in adolescence, in young adulthood, in older adulthood. Are there events that need to be revisited with love, with self-love, inner child love? Are there practitioners you can work with to help you with that journey, to release the energy so that it doesn't have to manifest in some kind of physical symptom. And the major role of self-love in healing cannot be emphasized enough. What does that mean? What does that look like? How do you get to it? Those are all questions and grist for your mill. And there are many helpful practitioners to assist, and perhaps you are one yourself helping others in that regard. Those who heal are often always needing to fill their own well and do their own healing as well. So it's always a two-sided act. Is there more, Jessica?
Balance is coming to me. Just balance. And just being mindful of not trying to reach for something that's like a goal outside of you, but you're finding this inner balance and opening up the resources of energy. You're increasing your fountain of light, increasing your connection to wisdom and that presence of wisdom to be kind of whispering the path for you from within.
Also, so I was getting a tapping on my elbow and I'm thinking, okay, is it my fairy guide? And he's saying, you know, one of the premier ways of, yeah, it stopped, so it was him. One of the premier ways of healing is by being in nature, wild spaces, absorbing the energies of the natural places, spending time walking, if you can, barefooted or lying on the ground or embracing trees or sitting with your back against a tree or embracing a boulder or sitting on a boulder. Breathing in the air, looking at the sky, stopping, being at the shore, being in the woods, whatever location is available to you or calls to you, frequently, ideally daily, taking in your inhalation of nature is very, very important. It is like a food to see, feel, hear, touch, smell, and know the world, the mineral and biological world in the wild places. It will be very healing, very restorative to anyone. These questions, let's have another one.
Find my inner spirit or my outer spirits or my connections, my ancestral connections? How do I find them and feel them and cultivate them?
So your inner spirit and your ancestors is what you're asking about?
Just in general, I suppose, yes.
Mm-hmm. again, Jessica. I'll invite you to start if you'd like to.
They're with you already. So, being still, meditating, and just allowing the inner spaces to teach. Allowing that inner integration to happen and to witness maybe the conversations of the mind and to become observant about what voices in the mind are truly of your soul. Are they voices of love? Are they voices of wisdom? And which voices are maybe an ancestor that is not for your highest good or the highest good of all, but has passed down some of their work that's yet to be completed. So to get mindful about what voices you allow to run in your mind and make space for inviting in the voice of your soul, the voice of your heart, the voice of the divine. So you can start discerning between the many different frequencies of other voices that are being injected into all of our auric fields at all times through media and multiple sources of interference with frequencies on Earth, radio signals, other technologies. So begin by meditating and spending time in quiet every day, clearing your space from anything that's not yours, anything that's not for your highest good, establishing your sovereignty, and saying, I wish to hear the voice of my soul. I wish to hear from only my most helpful guides and ancestors. And depending on your own unique way of receiving information, some of us hear it, see it. Sometimes we're given symbols or coincidences that lead us. And that's when your heart can help guide the path. Those synchronicities can help open up those invisible realms.
Yeah, so many of the things we've been talking about will help you access your soul. And what Jessica has shared about the ancestors as well. And what you can do is you can create an altar with photographs of those who have crossed over in your family lines. Photos, any mementos of them. And they enjoy offerings of drink or food that they liked in their life. So if you're making a family time-worn meal, creating a little plate and putting it on the altar of your ancestors for a day, and then feeding it to the animals or the compost, having a candle lit, those types of things. And again, asking them to be present and to, for those of love, light, and wisdom, to be offering you guidance about how you may further connect with them. Seeking out family stories through who's already alive and what's already been written down. You can ask and explore and collect these stories and contemplate these ancestors and their realities and their lives. Again, reaching back and asking, who is that medicine relative of yours? How many generations back is he or she? And can they begin communicating with you and working with you? When we talk about the soul, we also talk about the greater self, the deeper self. Some people call it the higher self. I call it the goddess self. This is an aspect of you at your highest vibration, at your highest level of awareness and consciousness. And just allow yourselves, all of us listening right now, let's just put in the call to that aspect of ourselves right now. Just see that. Imagine our highest, most evolved form. And ask it to become one with you. And activate your DNA to begin to have this embody you and you embody it all the time. Your soul self. Do we have another question? Perhaps somebody who hasn't asked yet? What is your curiosity? We're just using these pauses to integrate everything that's been shared, everything that's being stimulated within you as you listen. Other questions? And Jessica, if you or I have a question that's emerging too, we can put that out there and see what we receive on our own questions. Or perhaps there's a bit of information that wishes to come in through either of us spontaneously.
I just have a general question or curiosity and interest in this time on Earth, and the timelines. There seems to be a lot of, I think, shared anxiety, but maybe the other side of that is excitement. Many of us feeling like changes are happening rapidly. There's just unrest around the planet, and just looking at where we are in the Kali Yuga, the end of the age, and looking at some of the ideas about humanity beginning a golden age, and things shifting for us to continue to grow and expand our consciousness without as much resistance. So mm-hmm. just wondering if you could share a little bit about what you see in terms of this particular time and what may be coming.
Mm-hmm. And how we may best meet it, address it, work with it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's look at that one. Well, again, all of us are raspberries at different places of ripeness. Now, for myself, I knew that I had to have a radical break with my life as I knew it in order to have the nectar flowing again. Others may not need as radical an event to happen. But in order for something radical to not be the way that you have your awakening, it does help to be at increasing levels of mindfulness and giving space and time to your inner life, your inner meditative life, and reducing time on devices. Because there is a trend in which many people are getting sucked away. They're having their chi and their time sucked away by devices. More and more attention and consciousness is going into the devices and the supposed interactions that are happening there. And that is putting us in a great bubble of misery, actually. The more you're on devices, the more you are in a bubble of misery that you don't even realize is happening. So how to burst the bubble is reducing the time on the devices, getting out more, because, and also being aware of the messages that are coming through all the various media. It's not just the fact of connecting through the devices, but what is in the devices that's being transmitted. A lot of stories and energies of horror, fear, frustration, anger, strife, and we need to question to what degree we want to continue to engage with that, knowing that each day, all of that information is but a small percentage of what has happened on the planet that day. Yet, it's blown up to be writ large and appear as though it is our entire reality. So, becoming conscious around content, what types of things you're looking at, reducing the amount of time looking at it, if not eliminating altogether your use of media, will help with the anxiousness that is getting more and more ratcheted up through those very media. Most of the anxiety is a media creation. That's something to contemplate. So who is actually running that and who is participating in it, both producing the content, directing the content, and consuming the content. It's yet another dependency that we were talking about earlier today, people's dependency on the so-called news. Well, if I don't look, I won't be informed, I won't know what's going on, I won't be able to survive, is essentially the bottom line of it. You have to ask, is that true? Only you can answer that question, but it's a good one to ask. The most peaceful people are not looking at a great deal of news, be it in the internet, Facebook, TV, what have you. They are busy looking at the sky, planting gardens, tending to their families, going out dancing, putting their energy into being part of the solution, etc. So the illusory nature of what's being shown, promulgated, fostered, revved up, whipped up, is something that most people are not looking at. It is like a reality TV show that has become your reality. Do you want that? And this media has become a cat and mouse game. Well, I need to know what they're doing in Washington in order to dot, dot, dot. So you continue to look at the media version of what is being shown about Washington or wherever, getting more and more upset, feeling more and more paralyzed, having anxiety and health issues. It's important that we take back the control and release the dependency on the media for knowing what's what. The media is filled with energies and entities designed to foment strife. Do we want that? So the media continues to be something that people of wisdom need to consider and look at. To decide how much you want to engage and to understand how much of it is creating how much of our global anxiety. And is taking how much of our time and energy. Jessica, are you seeing a response to your question there?
One thing that just came through was like this awareness of almost an energy of boredom, like deep boredom, that is kind of the root of the distraction game. Mm-hmm. And all that is just a lack of awareness of like the adventure of the soul, the, mm-hmm. the potency of the cosmos.
Yes.
It's almost like a very young developmental stage, like kids are like, I'm bored, you know, and so then like that energy of picking fights or creating something so I can have some kind of entertainment here to like drown out that root of boredom. And so the more of us are really doing that soul work to bring that energy of joy and the excitement and the nourishing energy that comes with unfolding, opening up to that awareness, almost like, you know, what happened to you at Delphi. There was this synchronicity, there was an activation, there was an awakening of an awareness of a bigger picture, a bigger pattern, that if the scales could fall from our eyes and we could see the wonder, cultivating wonder is such a beautiful spiritual practice, to be in awe, to be in wonder, to open, to see the mysteries. It's like we're designed to be truly hungry for those things. And yet there's been like this belief that it's not real, or there's nothing there, or you're just imagining. I mean, your imagination is a gift. It's a gift of co-creative consciousness that's being used by others because we're not using it enough. So
yes, and that very message about cultivating wonder and awe was what the Grand Tetons told me a couple of days ago when I was there, and that's what's going out on an audio tomorrow. They and the fairy realm, the fae realm again, which has been relegated to the land of make-believe fiction, which is a misunderstanding of the importance of make-believe and fiction and co-creating that reality and our creativity. So the fairy realm and the understanding of the fairy realm and the Native American understandings of the tree people, the rock people, the water people, you know, that these things have consciousness. When you approach nature or anything from that perspective, you're not bored anymore. Suddenly it becomes a wonderland. And connecting with the wonderland of the earth again is, and the magic of reality is what will help us to awaken and provide infinite hours of awe, creativity, absorption. We will not be bored again. When children are bored, it's because they have been cut off from the magic of the fairies. Because children who still have the connection with the fairies are not bored. They are playing with them. And the same goes for adults. So this, the awakening to that realm is very important in our future. It is intimately connected with the environment, which brings us back to how to live more sustainably. Well, ask the fairies. Ask the plants. Ask the flowers. Ask the waterways. Ask the raspberry bushes. They will tell you, if you're able to be quiet and open. Willing. Was there more you wanted to say, Jessica? And did we want to have perhaps one more question before we move into...
I was just going to note the time.
Yeah, maybe just one more question?
Sure.
Anybody who hasn't spoken yet wish to bring forth a question? Otherwise, we'll open it to those who have. So I have a question, which is, for each person listening, how can you bring more joy into your life? And I invite you to just open the stops to all the realms that are positive and good that will help you with that question. And we're going to just spend a few minutes in silence with this.
Thank you. Okay.
So, yeah. So, well, maybe I'll stimulate the personal conversation a little bit, and then you can as well. So I'm here by virtue of being on a writing pilgrimage around the country for at least 6 months, if not a year. Literally going in a circle, if as planned, you know, because I went from the Northern California up the West Coast, and now I'm going across the North all the way into the East Coast, and if I complete it, I'll go down the Southern Coast and through the sort of, you know, Texas Midwest area, or rather Southwest area, perhaps back up to the Bay Area, but, and as you may, Dakiti. As you may know, I have also been the director of Seven Sisters Mystery School, which is an online and in-person enterprise dedicated to restoring the ancient way of the priestess and the authentic priest in our world. So I've done many things over the last 7 years with that. And so I've been a spiritual entrepreneur, who is now in recovery. No, but
taking,
I mean, I'm taking a bit of a, you know, pullback.
A sabbatical.
Sort of sabbatical, you know, and to write, because I am an author and I've been writing many articles and blogs, and I have books to write that are coming. So that's a little bit about me to stimulate any questions or conversation. And Jessica, I don't know how well you know these folks, but was there anything you wanted to say also about your work?
Oh, I don't like to talk about myself.
So let me tell you about Jessica.
Okay.
She's beautiful and she's here.
Oh, stop.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, both of these beautiful women come to my yoga classes. So they know me through yoga.
Yeah.
And Christina works at the same Camelot location as Mr. Grant does, so yeah, we're just kind of in our own unique configuration. We're all I'm here holding space, doing weird stuff in Fargo, and I'm just very grateful for people that I've connected with who are supportive and open to explore things that are a little outside of the box for this area. So,
talk about your new passion with the astrology
stuff. Oh yeah, I have been studying astrology. I'm very excited to learn just new ways of reading energy for people. So when I see clients here, I'll do personal yoga work or clearing. But to start to look at the chart has been really super fascinating, because there's just so much you can get out of it, and there's it's really helpful to you as like learning Grant's chart or my kids' charts to see like, oh well, there's a conjunction with Pluto, so you're having a bad day today. It's good to know. And the whole like, do we need to go to ER? Is this a mental crisis, or do you just have a planet conjuncting something? You know, I don't know. So there's, I think in the oracle realm, there's so many different avenues for gaining information and getting wisdom as a part of the healing arts that are often, you know, I would call it more like etheric wisdom that maybe is more valued in the East, whereas in the West we're like, get out the big guns and the lasers and, you know. So I'm just grateful to be learning more of those kind of healing arts that can support people in gentle ways here in the area. So
All right, so we will conclude there. Blessed be.
Thank you so much.